Earlier this year, I went to a conference it was put on by the Rural Home Mission Association. And it really focuses on this group ministers to small churches in rural settings. And so I was there to learn more about that. We have a number of AMEC churches that fit that demographic. And I also wanted to just make some connections because they may know of pastors would be available when our churches need pastors. It was held in Lancaster, so I was able to go. By the way, I live in Denver, Pennsylvania, but it's in Lancaster County. And so I went to that conference. And while I was there, I met Phil Tuttle, who's the president of Walk Through the Bible Ministries. And Phil had done a whole series of, produced a whole series of Bible study on Mary, the mother of Jesus. And so he said, and I went to a seminar he did on this, and I didn't know, the title was, Have the Greatest Christmas Ever, you know. So this was in September. I thought, well, I might as well go and find out what that means. And so here he'd done a whole series on Mary, the life of Mary. And one of his lines was, you know, Catholics revere Mary, Protestants ignore Mary. You know, because what to do with her. And so someone has said, I think it's one of the contemporary Christian singers has said, when he grew up, you know, Mary is for the Catholics. And so Phil Tuttle did this whole series on Mary. This is outstanding. This is phenomenal stuff. But what am I going to do with it? You know, I'm not preaching anymore. You know, this is not doing anything around Christmas Advent this year. And then Pastor Shane from Pine Grove asked me if I would speak on December 12th. And so I said, sure, be glad to. I know what I'm going to talk about. And then I got the opportunity to come here on January 2nd, and I'm thinking, okay, this is after Christmas. It's a new year. However, Christmas Day may be over, but Christmas is never over, right? So I'm going to preach to you about Mary today. All right, as we look in the new year, we're going to talk about Mary. We're going to go back to the Christmas story, but it's going to have application to the new year. And by the way, I do welcome you today also who are watching online. Certainly understand what's going on in ongoing challenges with COVID. Just let you know that tomorrow I'll be doing my third funeral since the middle of December. The third funeral related to deaths because of COVID. 68-year-old, 64-year-old, 47-year-old. All men. And sometimes there's questions, you know, well, is it really COVID? Is something else? No, this was COVID. All three of them. Absolutely, they'd be living today if it wasn't for COVID. There's no doubt about it. So I certainly understand. I know there's a lot of different perspectives in all of this. Respect everybody and their perspective. But I certainly recognize that if you're home today and you're taking precautions, understand that it's still with us. And seeing what, and this is right over the holidays. You know, it even adds another layer to the sorrow that families are dealing with and feeling with. And we always want to remember, over the holidays, it's good for us to remember that we do celebrate and we do have great joy in the birth of Jesus and all that means, and nothing needs to take that away. But there are people who are, and maybe you're here today, and who are, or you're listening or watching, and you are feeling deeply the loss of loved ones this time of the year, maybe recent, maybe in the past, maybe not so recent. I mean, the other Sunday night in Lebanon County, just north of Lancaster, a couple, their ages 50 and 44, were driving home. They have three teenage children. They were at home. They were driving home from practicing, being at the church to practice for the Christmas Eve service. driving on 501, just north of Lancaster. A car came across and hit them head on and killed both of them. They both died. Going home from a practice for the Christmas Eve service. I didn't know them. I know the pastor of their church, Mount Etna Bible Church. I know him quite well. And so, again, think of the fire took place in Quakertown. You know, just things happen. And so we just, it's good for us to at least remember, again, that while, again, our joy remains, at the same time we do experience the challenges of being, of living on this earth and the uncertainties of life and the fact that we only have so much time here. And that's why we need to hear this message today from the Word of God relating to Mary and how it applies to us even today and applies to us as to challenge to us as we're ready for another year. So we're not going to worship Mary, nor are we going to ignore Mary. There's a lot to learn from the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and it's to our loss if we ignore her because of an overreaction to what we see as concern about Mariology. So it's not a worship of Mary, not praying to Mary, but we're going to focus today upon Luke 1 and the life of Mary in the context of her giving birth to Jesus, the Messiah. But you know, Mary does not stop with the Christmas story. Have you ever done a study of Mary throughout her whole life? Do you know that Mary was present not only during the life of Jesus, not only at the cross, but she was present after the resurrection? In fact, in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus ascended back to heaven, and the angels were there, and they said, you know, he'll come back in the same way you've seen them go. Then it goes on there in chapter 1. Talk about they met together, they gathered together, the followers of Jesus for prayer. And included in that group was Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's in Acts chapter 1, I believe at verse 14, one of the verses there. It speaks of Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was there. She was a follower of Jesus after his resurrection. Because I think Mary realized that she needed a Savior. Like all of us do. And she had given birth to the Messiah. She had come to faith in the Messiah, had seen him die on the cross for her sins, had seen him raised from the dead, and continued to be a follower of Jesus. Because she needed redemption as any of us do. So we're going to focus on this today as Mary's a believer. But we're going to do the Christmas story. And again, some of the seeds for this message are from a study titled Chosen by Phil Tuttle, President of Walk Through the Bible Ministries. But I've taken some of the seeds, planted in what he's done, but I've expanded on those and made a lot of this my own in light of what he shared. When God calls your name and changes your world, that's what we're going to talk about today. When God calls your name and changes your world. Luke chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 26 through 38. I'd like to invite you, if you can, if you're able, to stand while I read the scripture. Would you stand if I said read the scripture? Just out of respect for the word of God. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." By the way, I'm reading from the ESV. But she was deeply, greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. And the angel departed from her. We thank God for the reading of his word. You may be seated. When God calls your name and changes your world. In verses 26 and 27, here we see Mary's plan. She was a virgin engaged to be married to Joseph. Her plan was to get married. They had already been, by the way, their engagement was binding in this culture. And again, they had already been to the jewelry center in Nazareth, where she had been sized for her engagement ring. Kind of like the time my wife and I did this years ago, and I took her to a jeweler in Center City, Philadelphia. I went to college there, and there was a jeweler who was a believer that helped out all of us poor college students, you know, who were getting engaged with the engagement ring. And so I took my girlfriend, Susan, to Mr. Ross, to have her finger sized for the engagement ring. And when we came out, we drove together, and we came out, we had a parking ticket. We had parked in the wrong spot. Now, this is back in the early, this is back in 74. The ticket was $10. I remember. We weren't engaged yet, so I made her pay $5, and I paid $5. We split it, you know? Why not? Of course, I've been paying that $5 back many times over ever since, over all these years. And Mary had a great plan. She said yes to Joseph's proposal now. She had on her finger a beautiful engagement ring that everyone's looking at and saying, oh, isn't that wonderful? And isn't that beautiful? What a nice ring. Her mother was planning the bridal shower, you know, and everyone was excited. Again, the word betrothed means engagement, and in the Jewish culture, it was binding. But the couple still did not live together, nor did they engage in any kind of sexual relations. They were not married in that sense. They were just connected in engagement. It was binding. For you see, in the Jewish culture, marriage was security for a woman. A woman had few rights in that culture, and if she did not get married, she would not have anyone to protect her. Her husband was a protector. You know, we see that in the book of Ruth, the story of Ruth, as well. And so single women were vulnerable to being mistreated, and they had no defense. And so marriage was very important, and Mary was excited. Now, she's probably a teenager, very young, but of marriage age. She was doing what was usual and normal. She was in love with a handsome young man. He was the catch of the town, Joseph. Nothing wrong with her plan. Nothing wrong with what was going on. Lived in this small, uncelebrated town, Nazareth, off the beaten track. People who lived in Nazareth were not seen as high-end people. Just a common, ordinary gal, doing what was normal and right within God's plan. She was engaged to be married to a wonderful young man, a carpenter named Joseph. And that was her plan. She was excited about that plan. Notice the lineage, verse 27, engaged to a man, Joseph. But notice what else it says there. What does it say? Of the house of David. That's significant because of what is about to happen, although they didn't recognize it. Yet it was significant because of the genealogy. as David is a key person in Jewish history, and the Messiah needed to come through the line of David. And so Mary had her life in order. Life was good. She had a plan. She had a direction. She had a future. And I'm sure that the town was excited for Mary. This was her family. Can you imagine how her parents felt and those who loved her? And of course, Joseph and his family were happy as well. And so she was making wedding plans. Nothing wrong with any of this. But secondly, we see then the story move into God's interruption. Verses 28 through 33. God's interruption. And suddenly, things changed. In a moment, an angel shows up where she lives. The angel is Gabriel, God's messenger sent by God. There are three angels mentioned in the Bible. The angel Gabriel, which was a messenger angel. The angel Michael, which is the archangel, the head of God's army. And Lucifer, Satan, the fallen angel. Now, it's hard for us sometimes to understand this. We need to recognize, however, that angelic visitations, if I would say to you today, I had an angelic visitation this past week, you would kind of look at me like, are you sure? You know, it would really be odd. You wouldn't be really sure if I was on the level. In this day, it wasn't like that. There were angelic visitations in the history of Judaism, and in a Jewish culture, that was not seen as abnormal. And so, when the angel came to her, and she was startled right away, it wasn't so much that it was an angel, it was more the message that the angel gave to Mary. And what he's saying. Because here she is, again, her life is all laid out for her in a good way, and an angel shows up from God with a message. And notice the message. There is a call. You, Mary, are highly favored. The word means grace. And the Lord is with you. His hand is upon you. I am giving a message to you from God. There's a calling upon your life. He moves on then to talk about the choice. You have found favor with God. You are chosen by God. The Lord is with you, and you are, He's chosen you. You're His choice. Can you imagine? Life is going along so well, so beautifully, and suddenly God shows up with a call and a choice. You have found grace in God's eyes. He's choosing you, Mary. He's calling your name, Mary. Then he goes on to talk about what's going to happen. He shares about the conception. Mary, you're going to become pregnant. You're going to have a son. No gender reveal party for you, Mary. No, you already know it's going to be a boy. And it's going to be not only a boy, but also a special child. In fact, because I'm talking about the child, she's not even going to get to choose his name. You're going to call his name Jesus, meaning salvation. And when he goes on there to talk about, again, the child that you're going to bear, that, you're going to give birth to, it's not just any child. It is Jesus, meaning salvation. She'll call his name Jesus. He'll be the Son of the Most High. You'll have no say on his occupation even. He's going to reign over Israel forever. There'll be no end to his kingdom. This is the child you're going to have. Remember, this is not rehearsed. Suddenly, her life is impacted and interrupted by God with some pretty incredible stuff. Some pretty incredible information that is about her and her life. going to change her life dramatically. I think that Mary was beginning to understand at this point. They knew about, you know, Mary was certainly a godly young lady. She'd been raised in Judaism. She knew about the coming of the Messiah. And as she hears the angel describe this child, she certainly is aware, I think, there's probably some awareness that she's going to give birth to the Messiah. The real question is, how can this be since I'm a virgin? We go on to that. The next point is Mary's question, verse 34. Based on biology, the science of human reproduction. Based on confusion. Notice her question is not based on unbelief. It's on confusion. And this is understandable. This makes no sense. I've not been with a man. How can this be? How is this possible? How is it going to be that I am going to become pregnant, because I've not been with a man? You know, she doesn't question the angel being with her. She doesn't even question the angel's message, the child, the description of the child. Just how could this be? A very legitimate question. Certainly one that is understandable. She's not questioning God. She just wants to know. I think we would ask the same question if we would have been in Mary's shoes. And notice then God's answer in verses 35 through 37. God's response through his messenger is so significant. Please don't miss this. I encourage you to focus intently upon these words in verses 35 to 37, and especially verse 35. Let this sink deep into our hearts. Here's the miracle. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And then there's a mystery. The child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. God's answer to Mary's question is both a miracle and a mystery. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ is both a miracle and a mystery. Mystery can lead to some confusion and frustration, or can lead to reverence and humility. I choose reverence and humility. So does Luke, the writer, who's a medical doctor. And if anyone's going to question this in terms from a medical perspective, it would be Luke. He's a medical doctor, and yet he accepts it as well, and he writes this. God's answer to Mary's question is that there'll be a miracle. The Holy Spirit will make you pregnant. The Holy Spirit, you conceive through the Holy Spirit. And the child you will bear, you give birth to, will be the Holy Son of God. Notice the word holy. The Holy Son of God. Wow! Here we have the theology of the virgin birth. And it is so significant for us to understand this. It is such a great doctrine of the church. And I just encourage all of you, never to think that the virgin birth and his teaching, the doctrine of virgin birth, is somehow insignificant, is somehow unimportant, is something you can either take or leave. It's not that important to the Christmas story. Yes, it is. It is foundational. It is central. And many, many, even in the Christian community today, have moved away from the significance of the virgin birth, and they end up in some very wrong places because of that. If Jesus had not been born of a virgin, if Jesus had not been conceived by the Holy Spirit, he would not have been able to have been our Savior. You see, there had to be a perfect sacrifice. He had to be holy. You know that the sin nature is passed on through the man in human conception, in human reproduction. As in Adam, all die. You know, we all die because of this, you know, because of the sin of Adam, the man. It's passed on down. So if Jesus was born of a human relationship and be through the seed of a human man, he would have had a sin nature. He would have been sinful and therefore could not have been that perfect sacrifice for our sins on the cross. Would have been impossible. He was born, conceived through the Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Son of God. God's character begins with His holiness. His holiness, His holy character and being. When we miss that, we miss the point. I know God is love. But if you start with God is love, and that's all there is, as many are doing today, and we start there and make that the focal point, and that's where we begin and end, we end up with universalism. We end up with everyone's going to go to heaven. We end up that God's not going to judge anybody for their sin. We end up that there's no hell. That's where it goes. You start with God's holiness. You recognize His perfection and the fact that He cannot tolerate sin. And therefore, because of that, He must punish sin. And therefore, we as sinful people are separated from God because we're sinful people. And we're under His judgment. Now, in His love, then, He sent Jesus. And so the love is certainly present and certainly real, and we celebrate that. But you can only appreciate God's love when you understand that He's holy. That's what makes His love so significant and so meaningful. Because without His love, His mercy and grace, we're lost. But He's done that so that we as sinful people can be restored to a relationship with a holy and righteous God, be declared righteous in His presence. And so when it comes to the virgin birth, always remember, and celebrate the significance of it. You see, many are saying today, well, you know, it doesn't matter what you believe. You believe in Jesus, I believe in the Buddha, I believe in Muhammad, this way, that way. There are many ways to God, and all roads lead to God. Well, there's a problem with that. The problem is Jesus. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There is only one. There is only one virgin birth. There's only one miraculous conception. It's never been repeated. It'll never be repeated. There's only one incarnation. Some religions say there are many incarnations. And so, you know, so we're all going to, you know. There's only one. And Jesus said He is the only way. In our culture today, there's a great movement toward, again, there's a resistance, a pushback against the idea that Jesus Christ is the only way. The exclusive claims of Christianity, but we base that based upon what Jesus said. I mean, we can say, well, we don't like that or we don't believe that, but then what are you going to do with what Jesus said? You're going to say then what He said is He wasn't true. He didn't mean it. Well, yes, He did. There's only one incarnation. There's only one virgin birth. That is Jesus, the Holy Child of God. And then God's answer to the angel goes on to say, and goes on to give illustration, you know, look, Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son. For with God, nothing is impossible. And so before the angel signs off, he says to Mary that her cousin Elizabeth is going to have a baby, and she was past the age of childbearing, and so just remember, Mary, nothing is impossible with God. There is a miracle. There is a mystery. And as in response to the miracle, I encourage all of us who just bow down before that in reverence and humility and embrace the beauty and glory of this precious teaching. In reality, that Jesus was born, conceived by the Holy Spirit, in Mary, a virgin, fully God, fully human. Now, how does Mary respond when God calls her name and changes her world? We see her response in verse 38. Her declaration, I am a servant of the Lord. Her surrender, let it be according to your word. Total and complete surrender. And she did this. even in the face of shame and disgrace. How do you think the community responded to all of a sudden she's pregnant? She's not married. I mean, she's betrothed, but she's not married. The marriage hasn't taken place. Well, we're not told, but we can imagine, can't we? There were a lot of people that were, Mary, what did you do? How could you do this? And even Joseph was dismayed by this until an angel came to him in a dream and told him what was going on, what was taking place. I wonder what her parents thought. Actually, I wonder how they responded. Kind of curious about that. You don't know. I wonder what they said. But certainly the tide of the community would have been against her. There would have been people talking and whispering and putting stuff on social media that wasn't very nice about Mary. Facebook would have been lit up with all these kind of comments about Mary and what had happened, and they would have been critical. We don't know all that happened, but we know, I'm sure there was significant pushback. Mary never wavered. Let it be according to your word. No matter what people are saying, no matter what the consequences are of what has happened here, I am willing to serve in this way. I surrender to your will and to your word, regardless of the consequences. That's what she did. And that is the legacy she leaves for us. That's the lesson she leaves for all of us. This is why we celebrate her in a good way. Because we can learn, apply this to our life. And so what about us? What about you? What about me? How do we respond when God interrupts our comfortable life? When God interrupts our plans? Good plans. Nothing wrong with having plans. Nothing wrong with having comforts in life. There's nothing wrong with what Mary was doing and planning to get married and going about it God's way. Nothing wrong at all. How do we respond? How do we deal with God's calling our name and changing our world? You say, well, he's never done anything like this in terms of coming to me with an angelic message with a very life-changing story and request. Still, there's his call. One place where he called our name was at salvation. When he called us to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, and his call came into our life through his Holy Spirit to give our life to Christ. That's individual. I can't become a Christian for you. You can't become a Christian for me. That's individual. It's individual choice, individual call. Have you ever thought about how your life would be different if you weren't a Christian? Have you ever thought about if you weren't a follower of Jesus Christ, what you'd be doing? How life would be? What your world would be like? If you had not responded to God's call on salvation, what difference would there be? God called your name and they placed conviction on your heart. You needed a Savior and you responded and accepted Jesus and we moved from darkness to light. We become members of God's family. We're redeemed ones. Does that change your world? I would hope it has. When God calls our name and changes our world, he does that in salvation, first of all. We become children of God. Think about. What would life be like? What would your values be and your purpose be if you didn't know Jesus? Would it be any different? Well, I hope it's different because of Jesus. Our world is different because of Jesus. Calling our name and bringing us into his family through faith in Jesus Christ. But not only happens in salvation, but also in our walk with God. Now, not as dramatic as Mary, maybe. But just in the day-to-day life and the life we live and as we go through life as believers. Are we open to God's calling our name and changing our world? I grew up in a little town called Belleville, Pennsylvania, in Mifflin County, small Amish Mennonite community in the central part of the state. I went to Belleville Mennonite High School. And when I was a senior in high school, I played basketball on our team, and at the end of the year, we went to a tournament of eight Christian schools at Delaware County Christian School near Philadelphia. And we would play in this tournament. That time in my life, I was a senior, I didn't quite know why. I had a sense of God's calling upon my life in terms of ministry, but I didn't really know all that that meant. And I was probably going to go to Eastern Mennonite College. That's where everybody went. That's where all my relatives went there. Everybody went there, came out of the Mennonite school. And so I went to this tournament, played basketball, and it so happened that I stayed at the home of the assistant coach, Mark Jordan, of Delaware County Christian School. And at some point, I was talking about, I like playing basketball. I might go to a school where I could play basketball. I didn't think that would happen in Eastern Mennonite, but I also wanted to go into ministry. Went home, didn't think anything about it. A few weeks later in February, one night the phone rang. It was for me. It was never for me in our house. My dad was a pastor. The phone was always for him. It was for me. On the other end was a man named Walt Wiley. And he was calling from Philadelphia College of Bible. I'd never heard of Philadelphia College of Bible. And he said also they have a basketball team. And he had gotten my name. Mark Jordan had called the college and gave them my name. I don't know how he found our phone number. I have no idea. Maybe an angel brought it to him. I don't know. I don't know what happened. How he got it, but he got it, and began to talk to me about the possibility of considering Philadelphia College of Bible. Again, I had no idea it existed. I learned then that it's in Center City, Philadelphia. I'm in rural Pennsylvania, Center City, Philadelphia. I don't know anything. I've never been there. I know it's a place that they train for ministry, and they have a basketball team. But when I hung up the phone after that conversation, I knew that God had called my name and changed my world. Because that's where I ended up going to college. Not without some pushback, because there were some of my family who weren't sure about me going to a school that wasn't Mennonite. All right? They weren't sure about that. In fact, some were a little pushy about, maybe you should reconsider. But I sense God's call. I mean, again, I'm going from the country to Center City, 18th and Arch Street. You can't get more Center City than that, Philadelphia. A whole different world. And going to a place where I really don't know anybody. Now, and the gentleman who called me, Walt Wiley, who, by the way, later on became the president of Walk Through the Bible and the chaplain of the Atlanta Braves. But when I got there, I end up going to this college and meeting them, and they said, come for a preview day, and I did, and I applied and was accepted. Then when I got there in the fall, he wasn't there. He was only there 1 year. He'd come for a year and then felt God calling him back to where he was before. And so there was one other Yoder on the campus. I did know her through her parents, who she was. That was it. Changed my world. I got a great education, a foundation, rooted in the scriptures that I value greatly to this day. It's where I met my wife. It's where I made lifelong friends. I also got to play basketball 4 years. Now, that wasn't the only reason I went, but it was fun. And I got made some connections out of that, but it was a eye-opening experience. While I was there, I came from a small Mennonite church, wonderful upbringing, wonderful. My dad was a pastor. I had a great experience. I value that very highly. But I ended up going to a Presbyterian church. We had to go to church morning and evening, and so we were close to just a few blocks from 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, where at that time James Boyce was the senior pastor. He was a great preacher, and I went there. I came from a cappella singing to the organ, the piano, the brass, everything. Totally different, but it was very meaningful to me. It opened up my world, valued what I had, valued what God added to me. And over all the years when I pastored, when we back in the days when we sang all the hymn, we sang a hymn this morning, but we sang out of the hymn book, we always sang all the verses because that's what we did at the Presbyterian Church. That's what I learned there. But I value that God called my name, changed my world. And because of that, even against some opposition, he moved forward. God blessed greatly. I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for that. But sometimes it's hard, because when God interrupts us and you know, calls his name and interrupts us that way, I mean, I had no idea. I just see, it's not too risky or too this or too that. No, when God calls us and interrupts our plans, we say, yes, here I am. And I encourage all of us in this, as we enter this new year, may this be our theme, may this be our desire, may this be our response. Where are you at with God today? If God would come throughout this year and he would, what about as a church? He would call your name in person, he would call you as a church or something different, and call your name to interrupt your world in terms of what his plan is for you. I encourage you to respond as Mary did. I am your servant, Lord. May it be according to what you say. We as a church are your servant. This is your church. It's not ours. Let's be open to God's call. Let's be open to him interrupting our plans, even our good plans. Let's be open to him shaking up our world when he calls us for his sake. Now, there's coming a day when God will call our name one last time, when we die. He'll call our name in death, and guess what? He's going to change our world forever. Interrupt our life here. We're going to go to be with him. We're going to be in his presence and worshiping him forever and ever and ever, and all his glory and majesty. It's going to change our world, and we're going to experience that forever and ever. You know, sometimes in dealing with people, and I've had losses in my life as well, and we say, you know, we're getting to heaven, we've got some questions for God. Why did he do this, and why did he do that? But I've been thinking, you know, I don't know. When I see Jesus, I think my questions are going to disappear. I'm just going to fall down before him and worship him as my Lord and Savior and be in his presence. Remembering again that when it comes to our relationship with God, knowing that when he comes into our lives, he calls our name and he interrupts our and he changes our world, our response is to be, here I am. And maybe you're here today, and maybe you're listening today, and you've never taken that first step. That God's calling your name to salvation. You never, ever responded to that and saying, yes, Lord, here I am. I accept you as my Savior. I confess my sin before you. Maybe you've never done that. If you haven't, I encourage you to do so today. That's the first step. He'll change your life. He'll change your world and give you great joy and peace and blessing in the midst of all the challenges. Even today as we go, continuing to face the challenges of our world around us. You know, the pandemic has kind of interrupted us, hasn't it? Changed our world a bit. God calls us to still be faithful. Here I am. I am your servant. Let it be according to your word. Amen. Lord God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the life of Mary. Thank you for what she teaches us even today. Thank you for her faithfulness and what it means. And so, Lord, may we be open to your calling upon our lives. Thank you for calling us to salvation, those of us who have believed. Thank you for how you've called us throughout our lives in small ways, maybe in medium ways, maybe in some larger ways. Help us always be in tune with your voice, your spirit, through your word. Bless this congregation, Lord. I pray for Pastor Dean and for the leadership. Again, may they be in tune with your spirit. May they be in tune with your voice. And may it be said of all of us that our response to your call, when you come calling our name and changing our world, we say, Lord, here I am. I'm your servant. May it be according to your word. Bless us to this end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.